I fucked it up so bad. My brain just blanked on me.
Welcome to Geeks Without God with Molly Glover, Nick Glover, and Tim Wick.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks, geeks without God.
This week on Geeks Without God, cross your fingers, knock on wood, don't break a mirror, and hold your breath, because we're talking about superstitions.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Welcome to Geeks Without God. I'm your host, Molly Glover, joined as always by my co-hosts, Nick Glover.
Hey, hey.
And Tim Wick.
Thoughts and prayers.
And today we're talking about superstitions. A lot of common ones, maybe some less common ones, but generally talking about how some of them have religious origins. Some of them seem to just have safety-based origins. And I want to talk about if you guys were superstitious growing up, or were your parents superstitious? Did you have any family superstitions that you knew about?
Yeah.
So let's just dive into it. So my mother is from Tennessee, in the South, and her parents are both Southern, so we grew up with a lot of Southern stuff, basically. Sure. In our family, in a
Southern nonsense.
So lots of Confederate flags and shit.
No, not okay. Not like that. More like saying "wash" instead of "wash."
Oh, sure.
So, for example, my great grandma, my mama, used to always say that if a bird got loose in the house, that was foretelling death. So it was really bad if there was a bird loose in the house. It meant someone's gonna die. Whenever there was a bird.
Statistically, that's true.
So also that if your nose was itching, it meant company was coming. And so if your nose itched, if I scratched my nose, she'd be like, oh, we better clean the bathroom. We better clean up the house. Company's coming. And if you leave your cupboards open, your neighbors are gossiping about you.
I mean, probably because your cupboards are open.
That's what Nick said.
Yeah.
And then if your palm itches, it means either you're about to get money or you're going to have to give somebody money.
Mm. Mm-hmm. So given those two options,
yeah.
Once again, the odds are extremely
odds are
high.
Yes.
I know there's an Irish superstition that if if a wild bird gets in your home, it specifically means death or illness for a woman in the family.
Oh, interesting. For a woman in the family.
And I've heard that a bird getting in your house, circling the room and perching on the chair, the next person who sits in that chair is the next person that dies.
Oh, okay. And then one last...
Is it only for the women? Only for the chicks with the birds?
I haven't heard anything gender related for the other one.
So then one last one that I thought was interesting because it's got kind of two parts. I'm sure you've all heard about if you break a mirror, it's 7 years bad luck.
Seven, yes.
Yeah. A big reason they think that might have come to bear is because people believed that mirrors captured a piece of your soul. And that also kind of comes to bear with in the South and also some other cultures. If someone dies, you're supposed to open all the windows and cover all the mirrors so that their soul doesn't get trapped in the house. You have to open the windows so that the soul can leave and doesn't get stuck. And the mirrors will capture the soul if the mirrors are left uncovered.
What if you don't know? If it's a sudden thing, if they fall down the stairs and they break their neck, they're in their deathbed and you've got time to cover the mirrors.
Yeah, you want to do it as soon as possible because their spirit is in the house. So you want to do it as soon as possible so their spirit gets out.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So what if they like fell the night before and you were out?
I mean, I don't know, Tim. It's a superstition. Well, it's just like, you know, when people sit Shiva in the Jewish faith, they cover the mirrors. That's something that happens. I don't know if it's because of souls or if it's just because you're not supposed to look at yourself when you're mourning or what. But So those are some of the ones that I grew up with. I also grew up with holding your breath when you pass a cemetery because breathing makes ghosts jealous and they will haunt you if they sense your breathing.
It's for Shiva, it's to prevent selfish thoughts.
Sure, that makes sense.
You should be focusing on grief and mourning and not yourself.
Not vanity or what you look
selfish.
Like.
Yep. Because grief isn't selfish.
No, that really? Makes sense. But also, one more thing that I did up until probably about 10 years ago. If I spilled salt, I threw it over my left shoulder.
Sure. Yeah. You throw the salt because it's bad luck.
Do you know why you throw it over your left shoulder?
Because left-handed people are demons.
Close. Kinda. That's where the devil sits.
Sure.
That's where Satan sits.
Yeah, you want to throw it into his
eyes. And you want to throw it into his eyes.
The sinister side.
Yep. That's where that's the bad angel. The devil on your shoulder is on the left. The
devil on your shoulder is on your left.
So you throw the salt over your left shoulder.
Otherwise, you're throwing it into an angel's eyes and then...
Right. But it's funny. I read that like many, many cultures think that spilling salt is bad luck.
Well, because salt until recently was super fucking expensive. So in a lot of cases, superstitions are all about, saving you from doing something that's a bad idea. Like spilling salt is a bad idea because it costs you a lot of money to get that.
And it's corrosive and it can, same with opening an umbrella inside. I couldn't find anything for like a reason why you weren't supposed to open an umbrella inside that had anything to do with superstition, like why it's bad luck, near as anyone can tell. And there's a bunch of stories that people have attributed to it after the fact, but near as anyone can tell, it's just to not be an asshole.
Well, I mean, walking underneath a ladder being bad luck, well, that makes a lot of sense, right? Because it's bad.
Right.
You get
kill the person somebody, up on the ladder or
somebody could drop something on you. Yeah. I mean, either way, it's a bad idea. So it's kind of strange that they had to make a superstition to just say, don't walk under a fucking ladder.
It's also weird they had to put into the Torah that you're not supposed to eat pork that sits out in the desert. But, here we are.
Here we are. Yeah.
I know a couple of Japanese superstitions.
Mm.
So sneezing is one. If you sneeze, it means someone's talking about you.
Sneeze once
behind your back, and some people I've heard just like leave it at that. But I've also heard that if it's one sneeze, they're saying positive things about you, and then if it's two sneezes, they're talking shit, and if it's three sneezes, maybe it's someone who loves you, and if it's four sneezes, you have a cold.
It's like when is it, conspirators stabbing you in the back, like Caesar. Caesar sneezed 12 times in a row. If only he realized that meant his 12 closest friends were going to stab him in the back.
Well, and so a lot of Western cultures have 13 as an unlucky number.
Yep. Yep.
In Japan, it's four.
I think in China too.
And because she is one of the, is the way to say she's for four. Mm-hmm. It also means death. So like Shinde, like to command to die. And so there's a whole alternate word for the number four to avoid associating it with death, which is
sure.
Yon.
Sure.
So
that's neat.
It's like
you're doing 1, 2, 3 elbow. 5, yeah. 6, yeah. 7.
What's a homonym,
Or people skip it. I mean, how many buildings skip the 13th floor?
Right. Because that's there. A huge superstition. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. I don't know if the building architecture goes that far with the superstition in Japan. I doubt it. I feel like 13 is like a high enough number where if a building has 13 floors, then skipping 13 is not a big deal. But like so many buildings have a fourth floor that skipping four seems crazy to me. I don't know.
They won't give license plates with 666 on them. There's like they reject those even if you ask for it specifically.
Right. But if the numbers are in, if it's just going in order, 665 and the next license plate, 665 ZZZ. They skip
666.
The entire 666.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
That's kind of nuts. I was thinking about superstitions, and I was thinking about as a non-believer, superstitions are dumb, right? But there are still some that I participate in, like crossing your fingers.
Oh, yeah. Fingers crossed.
Does nothing. But, there are a lot of times, my fingers are crossed for you.
You say that instead of praying.
Right.
Even though it's functionally the same thing.
Yeah.
It's wishing.
And I was like talking to Pat about this topic, and I'm like, it's kind of like a vestigial organ, right? It's like, it's just there. And you're like, well, I need to say something right now. And
that's why I say Gesundheit, because if you say nothing after someone sneezes, people think you're a sociopath.
Right.
Which is weird because there's no reason to do it except for the superstition that your soul leaves your body when you sneeze. And if you say God bless you, then the soul can't get snatched up by a demon after you sneeze.
I've heard that it was your cat, your A demon might be leaving your body.
Oh.
And you're saying that to prevent them from coming
back. Interesting. I always heard it as a bit of your soul leaves when you sneeze. Huh. You lose a piece of your soul.
What if you sneeze into a mirror?
Oh, shit.
Then it's gone. Oh, it's gone, man.
It's so gone. Especially if you're sitting Shiva. You're fucked.
Cover all your mirrors in allergy season.
Yep. There's some that I like. You're talking about, you know, the ones that just kind of make common sense.
Yeah.
Right? Don't put your purse on the floor. Because that's bad luck and you'll lose all your money.
I mean, you might if someone grabs your purse because it's sitting on the floor.
Just maybe don't put your purse on the floor. Seems like a smart thing to me. But that's like, I read something that was like, if the purse is below your heart, that can, you know, it's just a whole bunch of random stuff. That
oh,
it's,
weird.
Same with walking under the ladder. Some people have attributed it to the ladder makes a point of three from it's a triangle, and that's the Holy Trinity.
Sure.
And if you interrupt the Holy Trinity, then Jesus gets mad.
Instead of just don't walk under a ladder because you might knock it over and kill somebody, or they might drop a can of paint on your head.
Right, right.
Yeah. Yeah, that makes a lot more sense.
Do you know about Rabbit?
No.
So I learned this from my coworker who is from New England. If the first thing you say on the first day of the month, the first thing you say out loud is rabbit, you will have good luck for the whole month. And they say that if you forget, as long as the last thing you say before you go to bed is tabber. Or tibar, which is rabbit backwards.
Oh my God.
Then that counts, which is fucking hilarious to me.
What? Does everybody in New England do this?
I don't know. I don't know if it's a New England thing or not. I just had never heard of it before.
Unless they fuck it up and then
he says it on Teams every, like, he'll post it on the first of the month, or he'll be like, oh, I forgot to do it. There goes my month.
And then how often has that worked out for him?
I don't know. I mean, it seems like he's got a good job and a nice kid. So, I mean,
but, you know, when he forgot to do it, did his kid die?
No, definitely not. They're still alive.
So the number four thing, I Googled it, actually.
Yeah.
So sometimes levels or rooms with the number four don't exist in hospitals and hotels.
Because of death?
Particularly in the maternity section of the hospital. The room number 43 is avoided because Shi Ju Yong can mean stillbirth.
Oh, Jesus.
So no room 43 in the hospital, especially in the maternity ward.
It sounds like a problem with whoever was coming up with the language. You know what I'm saying?
I mean, we have tons of homophones that are incredibly nonsense inconvenient for us. That's nuts.
So Tim, you said you knock on wood. Say it.
Sometimes I'll knock on wood and then I'll feel dumb
because of the cross.
Do you say it? If you say it, do you feel like you have to do the knocking or you're like doing something wrong?
No, generally I just knock on wood.
Yeah.
Generally I'll just knock on wood because I don't know.
I do it too. So I was looking up that one. They think that it's likely started its roots in paganism because spirits lived in trees and you could knock on the tree to like wake up the spirit or let them know you were there and wish for something.
Oh.
So you could be like, knock, knock, spirit. I really hope I have a baby or whatever, right? And like the spirit would hear you.
What if you brought a mirror?
I don't know. But also, a lot of churches back in the day would claim to have a piece of the cross.
Oh, yeah.
They would invite you to come and knock on it to make your prayer. And sure. I think that was that there's so much early Christian stuff where it was like, oh, is that a thing that you guys do with the wood? Weird. We do that too here in the good old Christian church.
Christian relics are so fucked up. You know what I'm saying? It's like, there at some point in the dark ages, every Catholic church had a piece of the one true cross.
Oh, sure.
Yeah. And then most of them also had like a toe of this saint or a tooth of this saint.
Finger bones.
You could come see them and you could,
Well, and they still have them. They still have them. If you go into churches in Europe, all sorts of churches in Europe have relics that you can go and you can enjoy the knee bone of St. Thomas Aquinas. And it's like, and it's covered in Holy Spirit. And I don't know if you, if you kiss the knee bone of St. Thomas Aquinas, you
get COVID.
Yeah. Yeah. St. Thomas, it's his fault. St. Thomas Aquinas.
You know, do you guys know the original racist origins of step on a crack, break your mother's back?
No.
It was turn your mother black.
Oh.
Oh, Jesus.
Originally, in like the 19th century.
Gross. Yes.
Maybe that just means she was out in the sun too long.
And it was... People
still racist.
People theorize that, you know, maybe it was a way to get kids to not roughhouse and run around and like be mindful of where they're stepping. At some point, mid-20th century, it kind of seems to have changed. There was a superstition for a while that if you step on the cracks in the street, you might be eaten by bears that congregate on street corners waiting for their lunch to walk by. It sounds like a ridiculous thing you tell kids more than a superstition.
At least it's not men, ladies. Am I right?
Right. That sounds right? That sounds like snipe hunting is what sounds like.
Yeah, exactly. But it's just, I mean, it's a dumb little kid's rhyme.
Yeah.
But, you know, maybe potentially for like behavior control. But also the way we all know it is not the way it was, which was... I feel like a lot of things we learn are like, oh, this harmless thing is, you know, actually super racist.
Eeny, meeny, miny, mo.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. That
one wasn't tiger. It was another word.
What word? With,
guess
like,
which
with
word.
With a g sound in the middle?
My mom, actually, if she caught us stepping on cracks sometimes, would scream in pain like we had just injured her.
I thought that
was really funny. That definitely got me like really super. I was a very superstitious child. I was very.
Well, that's because your mom made it seem like everything was real.
That is part of it. But also, you know, I mean, I'm mentally unwell and have been since I was a child. But it was, I had a lot of magical thinking. That's a big part of why I wanted to starve myself for all of Lent at 7 so that I could get Jesus's powers. Like, I just really believed that there were magic spells and that shit worked.
Well, Your mom is OCD, too.
She does have OCD, yeah.
So I know, you know, when I was looking around at stuff about superstitions, I saw a lot of people talking about mental illness in general, the concept of magical thinking as a symptom of mental illness.
Yes.
And a lot of people talking about OCD specifically.
My superstitions and habits got way worse when my mania ramped up back in the mid-aughts there.
Yeah.
I became like really obsessed with counting and having the right numbers of things. You know, people will always be like, oh, yeah, you know, a lot of people do things like, oh, I always have to have the volume for some people be like at a number of 5 or an even number, or I can't have it be an even number. Like people be like, oh, the volume has to always be 17, 19 or 21. I'm like, oh, I'm always like a sets of 5s for some reason. That to me feels like an even number, even though it isn't even.
Even numbers are objectively better for volume. Everyone knows that. It just sounds better.
It's that science. There's scientific research that you can find on the internet.
Yeah. Yeah.
That probably doesn't say that's true
because the wavelengths, you know.
Did you guys were you ever into 11-11, touch red and make a wish?
I never heard that until I was a teenager.
That is one that I still can't get rid of. And it's only if you notice it's 11-11, you have to touch red and make a wish. And I sometimes even just get a little low level panic feeling. If it's 11-11, I will look around and I'm like, oh no. And then the other thing I do, and this is something I will always do, is when I make a wish, I have to make it hyper specific in case of a monkey's paw situation.
Oh, yeah. You got to be really clear.
I'll be like, I hope Nick and I are happy together for the rest of our lives, which should be long, but not so long that we're not happy and we like the life to be long, and they should be long, good lives, me and Nick together forever. Thank you. Like that's literally like what my brain does for a wish. I'll be like, I wish that we get enough money that we don't have to worry about bills, but not because Nick dies or because something terrible happens or our house burns down or something. Like, you know, it's just
it's probably just as well that you don't pray to God, because God would just be like,
let me get a pen.
Yeah. Let me write all this down. One of the superstitions you talked about, holding your breath while driving, you know, mm-hmm. the superstition that we always did on road trips. I don't know if it was a superstition. Yeah. It was more like you hold your breath when you're going over a bridge.
I've heard of that one.
In case the bridge collapses, so that when you go into the water, you know, and you hold up your hands up when you're going into a tunnel, because in case the tunnel collapses.
Interesting.
Yeah.
See, I always heard hold your feet up when you go over a bridge.
I've heard hold your breath when you go through a tunnel.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
What good's that going to do you?
What good's any of it going to do you, Tim?
None of it.
We were always told, pick your feet up. Like, just, you don't have to hold your legs up far, but pick your feet up so your feet aren't touching the floor of the car when you go over a bridge. With no explanation as to why, just that it's bad luck.
No, it was just, you know, you hold your breath because if the bridge collapses, you'll be holding your breath when you go into the water.
I held my breath going past cemeteries. Well into my 20s, because I didn't want the ghosts to get jealous of me breathing. Genuinely.
Yes. Ooh, look at that mouth breather over there.
They come home, as you know. They are looking to hitchhike with you. Yes, exactly.
Hitchhiking ghosts are a thing.
And if you don't breathe, they don't notice you. And then they're like, oh, just another corpse passing by, nothing to haunt here. I can remember, I'm not good at holding my breath. I can only do it for about 15 seconds at a time. And so, like, as a kid, we'd be like going through like long, driving by like a long cemetery.
You'd be like, drive faster.
And I'd be like, and I'd have to breathe. And it just worried for the rest of the day.
And you'd look at the cemetery and the ghost heads would just be like,
yep.
And they'd be like, oh shit, they're going too fast.
One I hadn't heard of before I started researching for tonight was you should not whistle on a boat. You should not whistle on a boat,
really?
Especially if the boat is at sea, because for two reasons. One is a more practical reason. The more practical reason is the only whistle should be the bosun's whistle.
Okay.
And so no one else should be making any whistle sounds.
Right. That actually is logical.
The not logical one is if you whistle, it calls up the wind, and then the wind knows your boat is there and throws and fucks up the boat with storms.
Oh, to calls in a squall.
Yes. If so you whistle, shouldn't whistle on a boat. No.
So Jiminy Cricket.
Yeah. The wind is like, I heard a little wind over here. Where'd he go?
Yeah. I also read someone saying another one on boats is sailors will say, don't go swimming off the boat because then the sea gets a taste for you. And it wants what you took back.
It's okay to go swimming when you're on the beach.
As long as you're at a beach and not on a boat, then the sea doesn't know. But if you get off a boat,
if you jump off the boat, then the ocean knows.
Swim off a boat, the water has
memory. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen that in various advertisements
for
stuff that they want money for at the state fair.
Like, yeah,
this water has memory.
It remembers. Mm-hmm.
I think my favorite superstitions are. When a sports fan has something they do to make their home team win.
Oh, yeah.
But they're like watching at home on TV on a delay. So like whatever they're watching has actually already happened like 5 seconds ago. And it's like, oh, no, I have to like eat a nacho every time so-and-so is up at bat. Otherwise, they'll strike out. And
Every time I've had a nacho with Monterey Jack cheese, my team has won.
Yeah. Or, and then there's ones that the athletes themselves have, like, you know, not washing your socks between games and things like that.
It's literally happening right now with the Twins.
Is it?
I was just reading today. They are doing well. They're doing very well. And one of the people on the team, maybe a manager or a kit guy or something, bought a sausage.
Uh-huh.
And brought the sausage into the dugout and then told everyone to touch the sausage. And they all touched the sausage and then they won. And then they did it the next night. And so now they keep the sausage in a Ziploc bag and they put it in a shoe and it's traveling with them.
The same sausage.
It is same. It is like a summer sausage, like it's preserved and encased and
not anymore.
And that is literally happening right now. There was a whole article about the twin sausage. keeping the streak alive.
And the Asian food company that I work for delivers to the Twins about once a month, and they regularly won every time we delivered. So the concern was, as soon as they lost, were they going to stop ordering? Because nope, that Lian Chin food ain't lucky anymore. Oh, I said the name of the company.
Oh no.
It's fine.
So we haven't talked about a giant one for theater that a lot of rather rational people we know
Scottish play.
Yeah. Macbeth. Are we talking about Macbeth?
We are talking about Macbeth.
And I'm not talking about the play. I'm talking about the character.
And
Macbeth.
How you can't say the name of the play, not the name of the character, but you can't refer to the play inside any theater. Otherwise, it can ruin your production and bring the curse of Macbeth to your... It doesn't matter if you're doing Macbeth or not.
Because of the way the witches were depicted, witches cursed the play Macbeth.
Yes.
And that's why people refer to it as the Scottish play.
Yes. And you can
say the name.
And you can say Macbeth, who is in the Scottish play.
Yeah, Lord Macbeth.
Yes. The King Macbeth.
You can say the play about the King Macbeth.
Yes.
You can, But if you say Macbeth.
The play by Shakespeare.
Yeah.
In a theater.
A lot of, and this is true of actors who aren't particularly superstitious about other things.
Like regular, normal, rational people I have seen lose their fucking minds when I said Macbeth in a theater because I don't give a fuck.
Yeah. I generally try not to because I know that too many people kind of are freaked about it. And it's like, I still do it.
I mean, didn't do it to be like edgy.
Sure.
One time someone asked me what my favorite Shakespeare play was and I said Macbeth and everyone freaked the fuck out. And I was like, and they're like, you can't say that. I'm like, why would you ask me what my favorite Shakespeare play is?
If you didn't want me to answer.
You should have said the Scottish play. And I was like,
that's entrapment.
And then during Much Ado About Nothing, actually, which was at the Mounds Theater, I was in the green room. And this was like, it must have been Tech Week because we were all in costume.
It was just like a year ago.
Yes, a couple of years ago. And I walked, in the green room, and there was a Tupperware box sitting on the table. And I picked it up and I said, Macbeth the musical? What the hell is this? And everyone went, oh my God, Molly, shh. And I'm like, what? I was genuinely like, what is it? Was it not good? Like, should we not? And they're like, no, don't say that. I'm like, don't say what? And someone's like, you know what? And then I realized it and I was like, oh my God, are you serious right
now? It's literally actually not a problem. And you know, Macbeth the musical, funny. That's actually a script I wrote.
I know. I heard later.
And part of the joke in that whole thing was whoever wrote it was going to call it the Scottish play, the musical. And they're like, no, it's fine. You can call it Macbeth the musical because it's not the Shakespeare play.
It's so
you can
dumb.
use the word and which is true. I mean, the superstition is such that something called Macbeth the musical is okay. The opera Macbeth. It's okay. It's literally only the Shakespeare play.
Yeah.
Do you two want to hear a list of some of the alleged things that are contributing to the Macbeth superstition
and examples?
Oh, I've heard this because I was a theater major.
Apparently, in the first performance of Macbeth in 1606, the young man who was playing Lady Macbeth took ill, and Shakespeare himself was forced to replace him.
Mm. Yeah, and Shakespeare was a shitty actor, so that was bad luck.
Yeah.
An actor playing King Duncan in 1672 was murdered on stage when a prop dagger was replaced by a real one.
So it was a dagger he saw before him.
Yeah. A production in Manhattan in 1849, a deadly riot erupted in the audience over a long-standing rivalry between fans of a British actor and an American actor.
Love it.
31 people were killed and 120 were injured.
Wow.
Brecht is
Laurence Olivier was preparing for
Sir Laurence Olivier.
Sorry, in 1937 was playing preparing for opening night at the Old Vic when he lost his voice and a heavy weight fell from the wings of the theater and nearly killed him. He survived, but days later the theater manager died of a heart attack. And it's like,
which never happens to theater managers.
They're not stressed
unless somebody says Macbeth in the theater.
And the list goes on and on to like. Peter Evans directing Macbeth in 2012 for Bell Shakespeare. Many of the cast members got severe food poisoning and were hospitalized. Opening night had to be canceled.
Is it because they all went to the same restaurant?
Right? Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Well, so what we were always... What I learned in high school theater, and I heard it also in college, was that that there is a way to undo the bad luck of someone saying Macbeth in the theater. And that is everybody in the cast has to run around the theater.
I've heard stuff like this.
And come back inside. So everyone in the cast would have to stop rehearsal and immediately run outside and run around the building and then come back inside and continue. Because someone said that was the only way to like erase the bad spirits.
Yeah.
And if everyone didn't do it, it didn't count.
It seems like every theater group has their own like, and I can't remember what it was in college, but it wasn't that, but there was some other elaborate bullshit thing you had to do in order to dispel
like
the bad
hop
luck
on your left foot and do three circles widdershins
go sweep the theater.
Isn't it one of the seasons of Blackadder where there are a couple of actors or anyway there's a British comedy where there are a couple of actors and every time somebody says Macbeth they have to do this elaborate sort of like a handshake but it's like a little dance with a lot of body movements and clapping and so somebody just starts saying Macbeth over and over again.
Yep. Sweeping the theater thing I have heard too to sweep the negative spirits out, which also is like, but also to sweep the floor so people have better traction, I think.
then you've got better luck.
Yeah. Break a leg.
Oh yeah.
That's a theater superstition.
I still know people who get mad if you say good luck tonight. They'll be like, come on. It's like, okay,
and I say break a leg.
I say break a leg all the time.
Because that's what you say.
I say break all your legs, usually. Yeah.
Break all the legs.
Break all the legs.
Yeah.
Break the legs.
I've also heard you have to leave the ghost light on.
Oh, the ghost light's got to stay on. People lose their fucking minds about the ghost light.
That seems like a safety concern for me more than a supernatural concern.
It is a safety concern, you know? And it makes sense for that reason.
Theaters are big, empty, hollow places with props and shit and ropes
and for
all
whatever
over.
Reason they never put the lights by the fucking door.
There was a power outage when I was in college. There was like a citywide St. Paul power outage for like 4 days in like the summer of 1997.
Did people have to go into the theater with a lighter or a flashlight?
No, but like obviously we didn't have class and stuff and we didn't have rehearsal, but like the fact that the ghost light was not on and had gone off meant that everybody was like super nervous about the production because the ghosts and Frey were going to be mad at us.
It wasn't your fucking fault. The ghosts can chill.
Right? Like, what did they do before electricity if the candle burned out or whatever? Like,
I've heard the superstition that a bad dress rehearsal is good luck.
Oh, sure. Yep.
So
Which makes sense.
Actually, that one makes sense a little bit in reality because, boy, if you have a really bad dress rehearsal, you're like, boy, we gotta shape this shit up before there's an audience in front of us.
Scared straight is
or
what it
you're,
is.
You're getting your wiggles out. You're realizing where you're like, oh, you know what? I always forget that line, don't I? You know, and
The superstition that there's a ghost in every theater is one of the things that always just makes no sense to me. It's like, you know, the Horror Fest takes place in the Crane.
The what now?
The Horror Fest takes place in the Crane Theater, which is a converted warehouse. And it's got a theater ghost. And I'm like, it's only been a theater for like 5 years. But sure enough, as soon as they turned it into a theater, it's got a ghost. Well,
the ghost is Hank, who died in a warehouse accident, who always had aspirations of being an actor, and his dreams were unrealized.
And he said Macbeth in a theater once.
And he died.
And a sandbag fell on his head.
Actually, the thing that killed him was a crate full of prop daggers. That's it.
He died because his boss wouldn't let him have a piss break and his kidneys backed up and he got an infection.
It's not funny. That's how my mom died.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No, I'm just kidding.
Our good luck things.
Her boss should have let her pee.
Are good luck things superstitions too?
Oh, sure.
Yes, absolutely. Like horseshoes, four leaf clovers.
Crossing a finger and knocking on a.
Yeah.
Yep, horseshoes, four leaf clovers.
It's got to be with the curve pointing down with the two ends pointing up. Otherwise, the good luck drains out.
Find a penny, pick it up, and all the day you'll have good luck. If the penny you leave there, your luck will not be fair. It used to be a pin.
In the game Control, which is a fucking masterpiece, there's this, it's a creepy government organization like SCP that investigates the supernatural or whatever that is real. They have a lab in the game that you stumble upon called like the probability lab or something like that. And they're studying luck as a concept. And so if you read through all the notes in the luck lab and you walk through and you do these like 14 different steps, like turn the horseshoe the right side up,
mm-hmm.
make the lucky paws cat start mm-hmm. bobbing, and you pick a four-leaf clover and bring it over to this other place. And then you go bet on a certain number in roulette, spin the wheel, and you have to step off the carpet when the wheel lands.
Yep, yep.
Because if you're on the carpet, yep. it's bad luck.
That's correct.
And if you do all of that stuff, you get a special like gold lucky outfit in the game. But like all these superstitions yep. that they're measuring, you have to kind of go through and do them all.
Blowing on the dice for good luck. Have you not heard about that?
I've heard
the craps table, blow on the dice for good luck.
Well, I mean, the gambler's fallacy is a fine example of you know, the belief that, well, I rolled a 2 last time. There's no way that could happen again.
It's what are the odds?
Yeah, the same as they were the last time you rolled the dice.
Well, and there's that whole concept of beginner's luck, where like, so when I went to Vegas with my friend, neither one of us had ever played craps before. And so we went to the craps table and I was like, someone teach me how to play craps. And everyone was like, you've never played craps before? All right, everybody in, because she's going to win. And I did. A bunch of money, a bunch of times. And I didn't know what I was doing. I was just like, and they were like, just bet what you feel. Don't worry. Don't overthink it. Beginner's luck. And I'd be like, okay, 7 the hard way. And they'd be like, okay. And the people were freaking the fuck out because we were all winning a bunch of money. And then I was like, okay, I think I'm just going to walk away. And this one guy was like, you can't.
Oh.
And I was like, no, I can. Yeah. I'm done. I was like $500 up. I'm like, that's a ton of money
I'm not a beginner anymore.
But yeah. And so it's really like the hunger on these faces when we said we'd never played craps before was like, okay, that's not real. Like, that's not a real thing, yeah. but okay.
But they were excited.
They were. Yeah. They were. And I won. So
they were winning.
I couldn't argue.
On 7 the hard way.
Yeah.
Which... I don't know.
I don't even know if that's a real thing anymore. I'm just making up terms.
How is 7 the hard? I mean, it was
20 years ago, and I did a lot of cocaine back then, so I do not remember exactly what I won on. But
which is lucky, actually. A lot of people don't know that.
Doing a lot of cocaine while playing craps is actually scientifically proven to be lucky.
Well,
I feel lucky when I.
Thank you for indulging our conversation about superstitions. If we have not talked about a superstition that you grew up with, we'd love to hear it. I think they're fascinating, and they are definitely one of those things that can be regional, hyper-local, like just to your family or just to your friends group. You know, like if it's maybe you had a lucky shirt, you know, do you have something you can say? Do you have a lucky outfit you wear to interviews? Like, do you have something that, you know, there are studies that show psychologically something that makes you feel lucky can actually bring about good things because of the confidence that you exude when you think you have your lucky thing on you. But yeah, we've been Geeks Without God. More content like this coming to you every Tuesday. If you like what we do, you can give us money on Patreon, or you can send us in 5 questions. Anything you want, and we'll answer it. Otherwise, we will see you next Tuesday. Bye.
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 If you don't listen to Geeks Without God right away on a Tuesday, you have bad luck all week.
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We don't recognize moral authority. We don't accept divine superiority. We're geeks without God.
Need more Geeks Without God? Go to our website, read our blog posts, find us on Facebook, or follow us on Twitter at Geeks Without God. Social media!
We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God. We're geeks without God.
Is this such a good boy?